God.
Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Came through drippin', drippin'. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin'.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray on a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. That's a reminder, boys, that tomorrow will be a Wednesday. And we, of course, as we normally seem to do, are a little behind in picking the theme for Way Back Wednesday for tomorrow, even with a two-week hiatus due to the holidays and such. We'll work on that. Mark Villalobos already tweeted us as well, wondering what we're going to come up with.
Right.
We'll see where we go with that.
I'm looking at you, Nick. What are we going to do?
Can I come up with the last one or no?
You've come up with like three in 2 years, so easy.
So does that mean I'm coming up with this week's?
That means you're coming up with all of 2019. So starting now.
So not true. So not
Joel
happening.
Joel and I are just going to sit over here and marvel at your genius week after week after week.
I already know
where this
is
going.
The
only time we'll get involved is if you not only come up with a theme, but then submit your list too soon. That's when we'll probably have an issue with it and probably have to come up with something else.
I don't even mind that. I don't even care.
Really?
Yeah. You know what? I mean, he needs the help. So,
you just want me to submit my list so you can change the theme last second.
No.
And do your own thing.
No, I just don't want to have to think. I don't want to have to put any effort into that.
Well, I'm with that.
I want you to have
to. We created this monster, and
it's
gotten big.
All in favor of Nick picking the theme each and every week for Way Back Wednesday, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Well, you know how we do it on this show. It's got to take.
I didn't hear either one of y'all.
It's got to take at least 2/3 of a vote to make it to be ratified. So it's in the show constitution.
I'll come up with a theme. A really good theme.
He just said it. There you go. It's official.
For the rest of the year.
Just hit me up on Twitter at the producer Nick for suggestions.
You son of a.
Always got to have help.
Always has an out. Always one step ahead. Always just cheating. Just cheating ass. You're just going to take it from other people. Okay. I mean, at least I don't have to do it. That's fine. You got to read all that.
So you know how we do it around here? If you are joining on the map and you missed the first 2 hours of the show, we recommend that you go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects, and catch up on the hours that you missed. And then while you're there on the site, download the app, and then you can listen live anywhere and everywhere you go. You can check in with us and tell us, like all our other usual suspects do, where they're listening from. And that's always cool, but then you'll never miss another show. So you can do that and go about that. If you did miss one of the first 2 hours of the show, we covered the college national championship game. We covered the Texans. We covered coaching moves in both college and pro.
Yeah, somebody texted and said, have y'all talked about Kingsbury? Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. That would be hour number two, podcastarena.com. Somebody said, if you really want to put zero effort in, then the theme for Way Back Wednesday should be songs about making no effort at all. Not bad.
I'm okay with that.
Touche, whoever thought of that.
There will be
songs
like,
about being lazy.
How many songs would you think we could come up with that are
Let's Google
there?
This.
Yes, please investigate.
Yes, that. In other words, let's Google this. Let me translate that for you. Let's make my list now.
Okay. No, we haven't
confirmed
the theme.
We haven't decided on it. That's right.
How about songs for losing since the Texans are out?
Well, we've done that before.
Drinking, which is the same philosophy.
Shout out to Walt. He said, it just dawned on me that if it wasn't for Charlie, I wouldn't even know Stephen A. Smith had a show because of The Usual Suspects and because y'all are on.
Thank you,
Walt.
We appreciate that.
Always appreciate you. And shout out to Steelers fan Juan from Denver checking in, where all the talk is coaches and QBs, as I'm sure it
the
is.
The app with you. Download the app. Yeah. Be like Steelers fan Juan.
Somebody said Rockets question mark. Did you? I'm assuming you watched
the
game.
We don't talk Rockets.
Did you watch the game?
I checked in on them.
I recorded it, watched the second quarter and the third quarter, and then fell asleep and did not watch the fourth quarter, but I already knew they won.
Most people didn't know there was a game,
no.
Except for the fact that, again, James Harden has put a move, this time on Jamal Murray, that got on every
broken
newscast
ankle.
And every sportscast and every sports center that everyone is retweeting and replaying, and the Rockets website has put to the theme of Titanic music. And it's getting a big kick out of. But the bottom line is they beat the best team right now in the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets. And James Harden didn't have to score 40 points to do it. So win-win.
12-2 in their last 14 is pretty good.
14 of the last 15, I believe.
Well, I don't know. I just counted
regardless,
up.
Regardless, that's no. good.
I'm not trying to contradict
they lost
you.
To the Heat and they lost to the Blazers.
Okay, I was reading an article this morning where they said that they had won 13-14 or 14-15. And I was like, wow, that's quite a run they're on.
No.
12, without yeah, Eric Gordon or Chris 14. Paul, so that's pretty good.
Now, tweeted a picture of Chris Paul warming up prior to the game, right?
Yeah, a little quick video. Yeah. Although it was the wrong one.
I meant to
tweet out the one that he made.
Yes, he missed the shot.
But someone called me out on Twitter. I'm like, I'm not deleting this.
Yeah, someone said to me, they're like, is that foreshadowing because he missed the shot? I was like, well, at least he's out there.
Look at the hamstring, the movement of the lateral movement that he had.
But then after all that, like, you got me fired up. I was encouraged. I'm like, you're going to get CP3 back. They're really going to be getting right. D'Antoni came out in the last 24 hours and said the timetable for Chris Paul is still 2 to 3 weeks.
That was this morning. At practice.
And then Eric Gordon, what, a week?
Yeah. That's what he said for Eric Gordon. Mm-hmm. He said 2 to 3 weeks for Chris Paul. Hmm. That's what he estimates.
Okay.
How about this headline? Austin Rivers, quote, it's the happiest I've been in my career.
He has to say something like that. He does look happy.
Plus, he had 20-some points the other night. He should be happy.
I mean, he's performing. Yeah. He's performing.
Yeah, he's getting minutes, and he's making the most of them. Yeah. Unlike, and to your point, Nick, and we were in a Twitter discussion before the show about the fact that, look, with all these street pickups, for as good and as glamorous as some of them have looked early on, what happened to Gary Clark? Daniel House, for all the excitement, is averaging about 7 points a game. But the one that has worked out? Austin Rivers.
We had 4 last night.
Who?
Austin Rivers.
But the game before that, he had 20.
Well, he's worked out. If, when you compare him to all the other guys in terms of that low risk title that we were talking about,
yeah,
he's obviously, he's had the most success. But when you compare, when you start listing names like MCW, who was obviously
an experiment,
and he got traded.
Yep.
Brandon Knight is only the one that's probably not low risk because he still has a contract that a $14 or $15 million
for one more year than this too, which makes it even harder to move.
Right, but all those other names.
Yeah, I'm with
Chris.
Chris is right.
Gary Clark,
Ennis.
Ennis, all those guys, they're all low-risk guys, and they're not filling the void. Now, we didn't expect him to completely fill the void, but we expected them to fill the void a little bit more. And that was my whole point. I forgot who I was going at it with. It was just a little debate on Twitter. But the low-risk situation with Chandler Parsons, I know perhaps that you might be hearing things. I haven't heard anything about them making any inquiries into Chandler Parsons, but there's a history there. And I just don't know if that's going to work out considering their history.
So here's the thing. He first of all, no one can say anything about Chandler Parsons until he's free. Like, they told him to go home, but he's still collecting his check from the Grizz, and he hasn't been released or traded. He's just a distraction while he's there around the team, and he practiced and was kind of pulling a Jimmy Butler, screaming the whole time at the general manager, play me. And he says he's healthy and ready to go, and they don't want to play him. So they just said, go home until we figure out what we're going to do with you. So it's not even on the table yet. But there was no – I don't think there's any bad blood that I found out that have said that the Rockets definitely wouldn't do it. Because as I've pointed out on the show, the biggest thing is you can't give up the assets that you have currently that are helping you get to the point that you're at now unless you're getting that plus more back. And that includes Eric Gordon. And that's about your only trade ship that you have, unless you're willing to part with a PJ Tucker, and you know that they don't want to do that. So now you're left to try and pick up street free agents and guys that have been bought out of contracts and hope that one of those guys could fill a void for you, like Austin Rivers.
I don't know if the fans are ready for Chandler Parsons to come back.
On Twitter?
For free, they would be. Mm. Or for like low risk, low money.
Mm. What's
Dude,
he gonna
if
do,
they
though?
Took
He's
Carmelo
garbage.
Anthony, they'll take...
He's
they'll take
garbage
a,
now.
A flyer on Parsons.
I was having this discussion at the game, Barry. I tend to agree with you. I don't know
garbage.
If he'll ever be good again.
No.
He says the doctors has cleared him since either November or December, and he's been practicing with the team since.
I'll tell you what.
I wouldn't.
My man has mastered the art of stealing money because I didn't think he was going to get what he got from the Mavs. When he left the Mavs, I thought he was absolutely idiotic for getting out of that contract with a year left at 15 and got 25. And then Memphis gave him multiple years at 25 after microfracture surgery. Kudos to your agent, brother. But, man, he's a long way off from what he was when he was with the Rockets in terms of being a player.
Speaking of people stepping up in absences, Gerald Green having a really good January.
Yeah.
And they need – I mean, he's actually his last game in December, 18 – his last four games, he scored 18, 16, 13, and 21.
Yeah, he's not the bottom of the barrel
anymore. No, and they needed that because he has been relatively – he averaged less than 9 points in December.
The minutes are there, and they're coming at better times in the game, too, than they were when all that experimentation was going on early.
In the first quarter.
One thing I did notice, too, last night that I was impressed with was Harden's defense again. I thought he played really well defense. I saw him on the low block against Jokic several times. And they even commented that he's really good in the low block, defending that, a post-up player.
And I've known it forever, and I've said it before when he used to guard Blake Griffin. Everybody said that's a huge mismatch. I was like, on who? Because people don't realize how strong he is from the waist down. James Harden is a very good low post defender. So, yeah, I mean, and again, he did. My concern is the usage, the amount of minutes and the grind it's taken to get 40 a night for him to carry this team. The fact that he, I don't care, it was only 32. But at least he didn't have to go all out last night, and they beat a good team.
They did really well against him in the first half. He only had 4 points and then really started to – it was either the end of the first half or the beginning of the third where he really started picking it up. And they were trapping him, and it kind of didn't work. It worked, but it kind of didn't because they stopped the trap and they started throwing new defenders at him. And it really didn't. He didn't get a 40 spot, but he still
put – You know what did work, though? Late in the game when they doubled him in the backcourt because he was turning it over. That's different, but you're going to see, as we talked about, coaches are going to start trying to do more and more gimmicky defenses to try and either get the ball out of his hands or prevent him from being the guy that beats you.
Yeah.
So you'll see more of this, but I did notate, like you were saying, yeah, some of it didn't work, but at late in the game, the one, they actually lost the ball out of bounds, but Denver had got him on two straight possessions in the backcourt, so something to keep an eye on. And the other thing that I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but tomorrow night they play the Bucks, and it's on national, it's on ESPN. The commercials sample Houdini's The Freaks Come Out at Night, and it is nothing but Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it doesn't even mention Harden, the Rockets, who they're playing. I think it's disrespectful.
Giannis is a big star right now, but yeah, from a national standpoint, I think he's getting a lot of attention. I do think it'd be remiss if we didn't mention the fact that Clint Capela got a new career high.
Boy, you love him.
31-9, another quiet night.
Love it. He didn't do. He had 19 in the first half, and it kind of slowed down in the second, but I felt like he did a real good job defensively. I feel like he did a real good job in the paint. And he's asking Mike D'Antoni for more minutes, so you know he's confident.
And the fourth quarter, when we were talking about all the gimmicks and the things Harden was going through, who was the beneficiary? He finished at the rim a lot, which helps them, and they have to have that. So, all right, we'll see what happens. Do we want to get Sean in, wrap up Rockets? Or do we want to get him after the break? It's up to you guys.
We can take him now real quick.
Let's get it real quick and see what's up. Sean, what's up? You want to talk Rockets?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Oh, man, just super excited what's going on with the Rockets, man. You know, I really didn't care too much about the football game. And, man, honestly, that was just a huge win against the Nuggets. You know, we touched about, you know, Rivers and everything, but what we kind of really didn't talk about was that tenacity that he's bringing off the bench. That second string right now, to me, is pretty much is our best defensive core. So I'm really liking that tenacity that he's bringing off the bench. And, oh, man, I'm just super excited about the Rockets, guys. I can see some really good things happening. And as a Rockets fan, I'd be okay with Chandler, but if it only makes sense, guys. Because, I mean, right now we got some really good young players, as in Alex Ennis, all those guys. I mean, they're stepping up, and I'm super excited. And I just wanted to get y'all's opinion on what you guys think. Is there a chance that we will try to go ahead and pick up somebody else? I'll shut up and listen. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Daryl. Barry, you want to go?
No, go ahead.
No, I'm good. I mean,
I think they'll make the inquiries, but we don't. I mean, I don't know exactly what they'll get, but I think they're going to absolutely try and get somebody. The question is who they can get.
Daryl's always picking up the phone. My question to you two guys is this fool's gold? Is this a good regular season run, but is this a team that you feel confident, as it is right now, can beat a Golden State in a 7-game series? Like Chris Paul said, I don't see anybody beating our team in a 7-game series. Golden State, obviously, is going to be the top, but you've got teams like Utah, like Denver, like that. I mean, do you feel like this is a team that can go deep into the playoffs?
As is, no, but when you're healthy, and I think that there are still some moves to be made. And by the way, Austin Rivers has been starting. He hasn't been coming off the bench, so.
Well, since Gordon went out.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't think they're getting rid of P.J. Tucker because Wednesday, the bobblehead.
Oh.
You don't trade someone if you're giving out a bobblehead, right?
Anyway, but I wouldn't get rid of him, period.
Like, they give out bobbleheads to everybody in the city of Houston, and the very next day they trade them.
That would be funny.
Oh, my God.
It'd be funny if they did it the night of the bobblehead, and when you got the bobblehead, you got a jersey that you could put over it from the team that he got traded to.
Or like the Calvin Murphy one, where they had different suits you could put on it.
Yeah.
You could just change the uniform. Here's my question for you going out. Who guards the Freak tomorrow night? Because I think it's got to be P.J. Tucker.
He said, D'Antoni said at practice is going to be between P.J. Tucker and House. Those are the two names they're going to throw out. That's what he said.
If you're Daniel House and you got to go, good luck to you, my friend. Wow. All right, Bucks and the Rockets tomorrow night at Toyota Center. And we've got more show to get to. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the final hour of The Usual Suspects. Right here on ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1. Continue to roll on. It's Barry, Nick, Joel here at Gal Media Studios. We got a little Rockets in on there. But got to remind everybody that, again, this year we are doing the second annual now Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge. We're excited about that. We're going to continue to get more details. But, Barry, you're going to tell everybody right now if they want to sign up, because you've been seeing that you gave me the numbers this morning, but it looks like getting a good start.
Yeah, just text your name and email, 713-780-3776, if you want in. There's going to be prizes. All that stuff will be announced shortly, but we're trying to get everybody signed up now. So if you want in on this year's second annual weight loss challenge, just send a text to 713-780-3776. Just send your name and your email. Or if you're on Twitter or Instagram, at Barry is funny, just shoot me a DM. And I'll get the information to add you to the list, so that when they notify everybody of where you're supposed to go weigh in and all that, you'll be ready to go.
Cool. There you go. We're looking forward to it. Got some sponsors rolling in too, so including your boys at Vortex.
Yeah.
So that's a good deal. So we'll continue to give you more information as details flow in, but get signed up now. Don't wait. So that you can be a part of what should be and was last year a very fun experience for all of us that partook in the festivities.
Not to derail the show, but real quick, did you see what Nielsen reported? I guess they confirmed what Netflix initially reported, in that 26 million people watched Bird Box in the U.S. alone.
That's crazy.
So apparently Nielsen, you know, known for ratings in terms of terrestrial platforms, terrestrial radio, terrestrial TV, has now kind of delved in because of the digital era into ranking like streaming services.
But I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, I didn't read the article. I do remember reading something about this where Netflix kind of announced it, because what they were really doing was bragging.
Absolutely.
But I think that maybe Nielsen is just reporting it, but they're not actually collecting the data, because that's all proprietary to Netflix. So when Netflix has a flop, they don't want people knowing about it. So I think that they maybe, just because they announced it, Nielsen, I don't know that Nielsen is actually tracking it. I think only Netflix tracks their views.
I mean, the website I said it did.
So,
I mean,
that's, really?
Yeah.
That surprises me big time, because especially with all the digital technology and the proprietary stuff that Netflix has going on, from a security standpoint, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so according to Mashable.com, Nielsen, which measures viewer ratings of television shows and now some streaming services, backed up Netflix's bold claims about Bird Box.
I wonder how they do that. It can't be at the Netflix end. It has to be on the TV. That's interesting.
That's interesting, though.
You know what it is? I bet it's with the people that report. Because have you ever partaken in a Nielsen rating thing?
I have not.
So I did a long time ago as a kid. They send you $5 and a sheet, and you just fill out what you watch.
Yeah, I think my parents did it once.
And so maybe that's how they're tracking it. If somebody says, oh, yeah, I sat down and watched Bird Box on Netflix.
And this is according just to one website, yeah. Mashable, which I don't even honestly.
But that makes
it
sense.
It looks legit.
No, I mean, that makes sense, because you would think that it's like in radio, how we have actual meters, these devices that you put in your car. And when they pick up our signal, they know that they're listening to ESPN 97.5 and The Usual Suspects. With Nielsen, it might be that as well. But back in the day, it was reported. So it may be something to that effect, where people are saying, oh, well, Nielsen says, well, what'd you watch this week? And I watched Bird Box. That would make sense.
Yeah. I just thought that'd be a quick mention, because I thought it was pretty
crazy.
26 million people in the U.S. alone. You got to wonder, because, you know, countries all over the world are probably, you know, watching this as well.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if the numbers are as astounding, but yeah. I mean, I did tweet out yesterday that I am kind of over all the Bird Box references on Twitter. Because every time something goes wrong, they tweet out a picture of Sandra Bullock with a blindfold on. And
you're
already
over it, huh?
Can I ask you guys this? Did the Bird Box come out only on Netflix?
It's a Netflix movie.
No theater viewings at all. Because some of these other ones on Netflix have also had limited releases at movie theaters.
Mm-mm.
But this one's all, okay, exclusive Netflix. That's what I wanted to know. Wow. That's a lot.
You think about the money that they make, and it's nothing for them to shoot a movie. I mean, I think that their gross profit is up is north of $4 billion a year. So they go out and make a movie for $100 million. That's nothing.
Yeah. That's probably why some of them are not all the best, because I feel like they're getting too comfortable. The last Netflix movie I watched, The Titan, awful movie.
Was it?
Oh, it sucked.
I didn't watch that.
Sucked so bad.
Yeah, I didn't see The Titan. I'm trying to think of what... I don't know if I've watched
anything. The world's coming to an end, and now there's a moon by Saturn that... I'm like, No spoilers. Yeah, but like the world's coming to an end. There's a moon apparently by Saturn that has a similar atmosphere, but they have to transform the human body for us to be able to survive there.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, it's just a dumb movie.
Look at Joel giving up yard advice online too. Did you see that?
No.
I didn't give up yard advice.
Pink Valkyrie was like, I leave for one afternoon. I come back and Barry's hijacked Joel's Twitter. And I was like, what is she talking about? Joel's out here giving out watering and fertilizer advice to Arian's fetus. So look at that.
For a golf course.
So now you're perpetuating the situation.
No, exactly.
Nick, what Barry's doing is he's skirting what actually happened in the actual tweet.
I didn't see the tweet, so I can't.
Right. So let me give you a little bit of insight into this, because Arian's fetus was talking more about the fact that he thought that we should have more garden talk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's absolutely wrong on that, but go ahead.
Right. So, and he said, and on top, I'm trying to find the actual one, because he said, is there a standard preferred fertilizer and watering schedule at the golf courses? All right. So that was his initial one. My response was, yes, unlike lawn talk, it's preferable to water overnight into the early AM. And if it's extremely hot, water after most play of the day is completed. Fertilizer is a course-by-course decision with overseeding done in the fall.
You tweeted all that?
He Googled that.
You're perpetuating
that. I did not Google any of that. I have a lot. First of all, you can totally kiss my ass, because I knew all of that, because I know golf courses.
When have you heard Joel talk about overseeding?
I completely know golf courses, and I know when they overseed, because I know what the rough is like and the color of the grass. Period.
That is a really long tweet. You really did. You went into depth, man. We're never going to get Barry to shut up.
So I was going to say, unlike lawn talk, which we don't want to be standard or preferred, is how I started it, Nick. And I just gave him the golf course information.
Okay. You're about the people.
All about the peoples. The suspects. Yes. That's the only reason why I did that.
I'm with you.
Somebody, I don't know who it was. Shout out to the number one show, The Usual Suspects, / Barry's Lawn Talk. So you guys can suck it. I just came in. I'm just reading the texts as they come in. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
Is Nick mispronouncing Saturn? What did you say?
I didn't even hear that.
I said Saturn.
Okay. I didn't know what you said. Did you guys see this? Peter Schrager, we talked about it earlier because he kind of broke the news on Cliff Kingsbury going to the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
If I gave you a choice of the following four quarterbacks, you had your pick between John Elway, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, or Nick Foles. Which one, if you could only pick one, which one would you pick?
Brady.
You know, everybody says he's the GOAT. I'm just looking at skill sets overall.
Hmm?
It probably is Brady.
Okay. Peter Schrager says he would go Nick Foles. It sounded a little bit like this.
And Nick Foles, in the biggest of moments, there is no quarterback I would rather have in the league. And I'll go one further. There might be no quarterback I'd rather have in NFL history in a big moment
all right.
than Nick Foles. You can have your Elway, your Montana, and your Tom Brady. But when Nick Foles gets the ball with 2 minutes left against the number one defense in the world, has to go 60 yards, he orchestrates a 12-play.
He did all that. He orchestrated a drive, number one defense. Yes, he handled his business. But Peter Schrager out here is just talking blasphemy, saying there was no one in the world I'd rather have.
He did say in a big moment, but still, Brady in a big moment.
Aaron Rodgers
in a big moment.
Andrew Luck.
Absolutely.
Captain Comeback, John Elway, Joe Montana, Tom Brady.
Joe Montana and Elway, obviously, right?
I mean, just, I get he's excited, but damn, Peter, choose your words wisely. You can't just start throwing out words like, there's no one I'd rather have than the backup. Nick Foles couldn't even beat Carson Wentz for the job. But that's who you want as a backup. I get it. He's the Super Bowl MVP. I get it. He led a comeback down the field against the Bears. I get it. But they also should have lost that game if Parkey makes the kick, which, by the way, was changed from a missed field goal to
a
block. So there, he's Peter Schrager is a made field goal away from not saying that at all. Let's be real.
No doubt.
It just seemed awful silly.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
But again, like we say with Richard Jefferson and the ESPN thing and so many people across the board, which most people not named Matt Peralta understand, a lot of stuff these days that's put out there is put out there just to get the clicks and the attention and the run that Peter Schrager got, Richard Jefferson got, you know, when he said that Harden shouldn't be an MVP candidate, and so many other people get out there.
I'll let you get away with it, Peter, because your co-host is hot. I love Kay Adams. I don't like that show very much.
I gotta Google her.
Oh, she's fine.
Yeah, she's
absolutely beautiful. Yeah, Good Morning Football is the name of the show.
Yeah, I remember seeing her when she was...
she is fine.
Because they were filming every day when we were at Radio Row. They were filming downstairs.
You got pretty passionate about
that. Yeah, she's fine, dude. I love
fine, not fine. Fine.
Remember that debate you had with Jerome Solomon?
Yeah, she's all right.
You shut your mouth.
No, I mean, I'm looking at her right now. Like, she looks like she would work at a library.
Shut up and go to break.
If she gets older, when she gets older, does she become Diana Rossini?
I mean,
of ESPN?
I don't know.
Look at Diana Rossini. If Kay Adams isn't going to evolve someday. You know how you say you look at the mother to see what the daughter's going to look like older?
Right.
I think Diana Rossini is what Kay Adams is going to look like later in life, Nick. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
Whatever.
But if you're good with that, hey.
She looks like she would try to sell me perfume at Macy's.
I don't think she looks like that.
Yeah.
No, she does not.
Why does she look like she would sell?
Huh?
Because if she can sell it at Penny's, you got a deal.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. You went all out. Like, you were like, she's fine!
She's
cute, but damn, I feel like you
she
oversold
ain't no grizzly
it.
My girl Kay Adams is fine.
I'm a fan.
You oversold it.
I guess I do that sometimes, just like with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
That I oversold ass, it. That ass on Taylor. No.
I never said
none.
That.
There's
by the way,
no
when you asked me if I saw the
Taylor.
Golden Globes, I had to think of Nick because the only time when Lisa had it on, one of the presenters was none other than Taylor Swift.
Mm.
And the dude comes out and goes, man, Taylor, you look... So, I don't know if he said fine, but he said you look good. Mm. I thought, Nick, hey, there you go.
There he is.
All right, 30 minutes still to go in the Big Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap things up in the final two segments and take you along for the ride. If there's something that you want to get off your mind, 713-780-3776, HR&P Lister Line. Back with more. It is The Usual Suspects.
A new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we continue to roll on. Final half hour of the show for a Tuesday. It is The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio, Gal Media, on ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1. Covered a lot of ground today already so far. Anything electronically coming in that you want to get out?
Somebody just said, what should the watering schedule be like at the Red House? That's a good question. Also, don't forget, if you want in on the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge, go ahead and get your name and email to us now, 713-780-3776. Text it in. You can also hit me up on Instagram or Twitter, at Barry is Funny. I'll add you to the list. I'll get that list over to the promotions folks, and they'll be in touch with the details. But it's going to be here sooner rather than later, so get your name in if you want in on it now. We're approaching numbers we did last year, so get it in quickly. It's gonna be packed.
Red House.
Love that so much. Love it. So that's it. Get it in.
He said get it in quickly, Nick.
Can
I rephrase the question then? Anything worth a crap that you want to get in that was out there on social media or otherwise? Because gardening talk, ain't it?
I did notice a guy on Twitter, at least there was some sort of report, where he was outside a house licking a doorbell for 3 hours. Did you guys see that story?
Someone tweeted us that, did they not?
Yeah, one of the listeners did tweet at
it. Yeah.
I forgot who it was.
We really got to have a talk with intern Trey. We really got to sit him down and find out.
Remarkably,
why
this guy did not look like intern Trey.
He did not. He did not, but he did look very weird in the pictures and
the
videos.
He looked like you, Nick.
He did not look anything like me.
Barry, have you seen the picture?
I have not. Why would anyone want to lick a doorbell?
And I don't understand. 3 hours.
Yeah, that's
a
long
3 hours at a time?
Look, I don't want to lick anything for 3 hours.
Well.
Okay.
Now, on the flip side,
that just makes no. I don't even know what the fetish is for that.
Whoa. I didn't know where you were going there either. I'm with Nick.
I got scared there, bro.
Easy.
I know you weren't gonna say it, but woo.
What's the? I mean, seriously, what is the fetish for licking a doorbell? What is that? I know that Joel makes jokes about the doorbell, like when that time that chick
you were on the road
touched my beehole. Yeah. He called that the doorbell.
Right.
Okay, so that's a whole different type of doorbell licking, but an actual doorbell that people put their finger on and it rings and ding dong, and that makes no sense. I don't know why. Did it say why he was doing that?
Yeah, I'm just thrown off by I put doorbell licking fetish in the Google search bar.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a mistake.
Well, the first one was the story. The first link was a doorbell licking California man. That was the second link, doorbell-pornhub.com.
There's doorbell porn?
Apparently.
Is this porn that... What on earth? That looks like my buddy Syed. You know what I'm talking about, Nick?
I know exactly what you're talking about. He's an intern here.
Yeah, what is Syed doing out there? That's just weird.
Roberto Daniel Arroyo.
Can I tell you how pissed I would be if I looked at my cameras at the house?
You, of all people, with the germ factor?
Oh, my God. I would hunt this man down. I would rather you break in my house and take my TV than lick my damn doorbell. What is wrong with you? That's a whole different level of creepiness. Now, did he lick it and just leave?
No, well,
when you're there for 3 hours, you ain't leaving.
That's an investment, too. That is an investment in time. I'm not.
Can I just say what would be worse? Do you have a doorbell camera?
I have a camera on my front porch, but it's not a doorbell camera.
Okay, so I have.
But I have just like the regular.
The mounted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thanks like to Hawk Security, I have the doorbell camera.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that if that was the doorbell camera. Now you see some dude just go,
oh my God.
Coming
I'd
right
be
at you.
So
coming right
be
at
nice.
The camera. Come on, man.
That's just creepy, man.
What kind of fetish is that? We mentioned what, Pom Pom Mom or whatever they were, that we mentioned that P. Randizzle looked up on Pornhub, but nothing like a doorbell licker.
That's weird.
Yeah, I was just shocked at that story. People do it. Like, I mean, he didn't even look like, I mean, he could have been under the influence of something. He just didn't look like that.
You think?
I mean, or maybe
think,
he's, maybe he's just crazy.
Sober is doing that?
Yeah, maybe he's just crazy.
No way.
Sober crazy.
No.
He was absolutely on something.
Unless you're like have a mental issue, no one just normally sober goes, you know what I'm going to do? I got 3 hours to kill. I'm going to run down the street and just lick the hell out of this dude's doorbell for 3 hours.
It is pretty weird.
Yeah. No sane person is doing that. It's either a weird fetish. Maybe it shocks him. Maybe it gets like a little electrocution thing.
But why would that be a positive? Why would that feel good?
I don't know. People do that stuff on their like balls and stuff where they'll put like electrodes and stuff like that.
Jeez.
They do. Look at Google it.
And look at Pornhub.
Google electrode balls and see what pops. Don't do that. Nick's actually Googling it right now.
No, I'm just looking at the apparently apparently the kids were in the house sleeping when this all happened.
Oh, that's creepy.
And so he actually left and was not caught like in the action, like
right.
in the process.
Red tongued.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
man, and you know you got to be gentle because you don't want to accidentally set it off.
Who does he look like, though? Syed is not a bad.
Yeah, he looks like Syed.
That's
a little
not
bit.
A bad
that's
comparison.
The first thing I thought of.
I haven't seen him in a while, so I don't know what he looks like.
He looks like Radu, our intern, too.
I thought about
that. Oh, Radu. He does kind of look
yeah,
like
a little Radu.
Radu
and a little.
Radu's licking doorbells.
Radu out here just
Borat,
licking
maybe?
Doorbells.
Sasha
did you just
Baron
say Radu?
Borat? No,
did you just
Sasha
say Radu?
Baron Cohen, but with like a little more like properly haircutted and everything instead of with the long hair and everything.
I feel like you just said Radu looks like Borat.
No,
that's
I do
not. Kind of the
See,
correlation.
This is where
I
you
got.
Do. You take it from one level and you bring it to another. So I did not say that, Radu.
Joel, can you give me and my wife some advice on starting our new backyard?
No.
Yeah,
can't.
Move to an
you
apartment.
Can't do
you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, well, there's your advice.
Yep.
Sorry he hates you, listeners.
Or,
he doesn't
again,
want you to,
see what
he doesn't
I
want you
we
to
start
succeed.
At one level, and it he takes it there.
He doesn't want you to have a nice backyard.
Nick, what about your shrubs? Do you want to get into that?
I do not.
Thank you. That's what I thought.
I already got a notice in the mail for my gutter, for my mildew in my gutter. I
got
to clean that.
Oh, you
crap.
Got mildew in your gutter?
I don't clean. I don't do
that. That sounds like a euphemism that you don't shower much.
Or, what is it that grows on gutters? Is
you
it mildew?
Well,
nothing grows on my gutter.
Well, that's what that's how it was stated on the
you
letter.
Have mildew on your gutters?
Yeah.
God, What is
oh,
wrong?
Oh, wait, mildew is what's wrong? In the bathroom.
How are these people, unless it's like, is it overflowing too? The gutter? Because these people, how are they inspecting it to know?
Oh, dude, they drive around,
the
dude. They yeah, drive around and the they'll outside. Send you a letter real quick. Real quick.
Get it together, Nick. What a mess you are.
Dude, I hate taking care of a house. I really miss my apartment.
Somebody texted and said, what, man can't walk out to his own doorbell and practice for the ladies? WTF.
Practice on something else,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, weirdo.
There's fake
practice
things you can
inside.
Buy
a peach. Practice on that.
Oh, boy. That's going to make this so much easier because you know what, Nick? You were mentioning about your gutters. And if you have any roofing work that needs to be done, I'm here to tell you Fitz Roofing is the only roofer you should call in the Houston area because they are making a difference one home at a time. Fitz Roofing, locally owned and operated. They've been in the community forever, and they're dedicated to helping you and all your roofing needs. They're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get this elite status. They have it. You get it. That's fantastic. And with it, you get the CertainTeed Shingles, which are the best in the business. Basically, Fitz's warranties are better and longer than the average roofer can offer you in this area. Not only do they do an outstanding job on your roof, but they also care about the community. They give 10% of all their profits back to the community through a nonprofit they set up called Fitz for Families. The money goes to help people who need roofing repairs but can't afford to pay for them. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau and 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor. Like I said, it's the only company you should call for roofing work in the Houston area. It's FITZRoofing.com, or you can call them directly, 832-521-3001 and set up your free no obligation inspection today. As I mentioned, Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. Final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1. Always appreciate you guys being suspects along for the ride and taking us with you wherever you go. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. You don't have to do a darn thing, and that is the reason why we all appreciate you guys listening to the number one sports station in the market, that being ESPN 97.5 and the bonus help of 94.1. With that being said, Nicholas, I guess the name of the week, or at least the day he's going with, is not Qbert or all the other ones he's thought up.
Nope.
We're going back to Qdini.
Qdini is what it is. Yep.
Qdini, you have Texans talk. What is up?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year's, Nick and Joel.
Back at you.
Oh, yeah. You too, Barry. I hate to be the guy that said I told you so. And, Nick, I'm not sure if you remember my call about a month ago when I told you guys that the Texans are frauds. I know you guys might have touched on it earlier, but hey, I'm just getting in the truck, and I caught some of the latter part of what you guys were talking about. But I told you guys that Texans were frauds. Although my projections didn't pan out, they didn't go 1-3. They went 2-2 in their last four games. But I told you guys, Deshaun Watson's a fraud, and the Texans weren't what their record said they were. So I guess my only question is, and I'm not sure if you guys touched on it earlier. If you did, I'll hit the podcast, but what do you think their immediate need is? Is it going to be defense or offense? Because, the second half, they shut them out. But I hate to say, they look pretty bad on both sides of the ball. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Qdini. I'll say that I think we've said it several times since this was over and said it all year. Offensive line is their number one need. And I don't know that I can agree with you in saying that Deshaun Watson is a fraud. He's a young quarterback that in his first playoff game didn't play well, and I think he'll learn from it. I'm certainly not going to call the kid a fraud.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to use the word fraud. Perhaps you can make the argument that their record, they're not as good as the record indicates. I know a lot of people have been saying that. Deshaun Watson being a fraud, why? Because he had one bad playoff game.
Yeah.
The only playoff game he's been in.
Look at him in the national championship games. Mm-hmm. Look at him when there were big games or a lot on the line, even the regular season. It wasn't because of Deshaun Watson you lost the game. The guy can play.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote the article on SportsMap which came out Monday morning, which is it's time. I agree with both of you guys. It's offensive line, but it's not. Let's address. It's not just addressing it like they did last year with, you know, maybe a guy that underachieved or a guy that you might feel like is an untapped resource that can step in and help you, or a veteran that maybe has a couple years left. It is time to really do kind of what the Colts did and dedicate what is going to be a decent first round pick. You have all your picks back at your discretion and a few extras. You have got to make sure you shore up this line by a complete overhaul. Figure out the guys you feel like you can still get something out of and can still play. A Nick Martin type comes to mind, you know, guys like that. But overall, it's stop looking for quick fixes and Band-Aids and address it once and for all by doing it the right way.
So you're a secondary is kind of, because I know for a while you were a big proponent of the secondary.
I think, but I've said number one overall, number one on the list. Yeah, I still think they have to address the secondary one way or the other. But as you mentioned very, very adeptly in the past, and Lance has said as well, if you're looking for a great offensive lineman, teams that have them aren't getting rid of them. So you either draft them, you can try and trade for them, but...
Or develop them. That's basically the three options.
Or you got to develop them, right, and you get them with later draft picks. But from the standpoint on the flip side, I think there's defensive backs that are out there. I think you can pay through free agency for defensive backs more than you can for offensive line. I think you have to dedicate to drafting offensive linemen. And like you said, Nick, either develop them or get them at a high enough level where they've rated out and graded out to where they're going to be. And that's what the Colts have done. And I think that's what they have to do. No more quick fixes. Fix this thing for the long term.
Somebody said, what's up, guys? Joe here. Good show. Bleacher Report just dropped a rumor that the Astros are going after Corey Kluber. What do y'all think of that? I mean, I think that
depends
would be
on what
wise.
They got to give up, right?
I think that would be smart. Yeah,
I agree. But
we didn't mention it yesterday. You told me off air before the show, but the Astros involved in a 5-player trade, including J.D. Davis. That was the big name that got shipped up to the Mets. They got 3 prospects. One of them's a catcher that they think may be a player at the major league level one day. I think that I worry a little bit, because if you know, I don't know how teams held J.D. Davis in regards to the other prospects that they have, but he had major league experience. So you hope that he wasn't a piece that you could have used later.
Well,
I don't think he will be, because the names that they're being, you know,
baseball
associated with, like Kluber, then you know that, okay, Kluber's going to be guys that are top 5, top 10 in the organization, not a J.D. Davis necessarily. But when it comes to adding depth, that might be an issue. I'm all for it, but Do they want to spend the money?
Kluber would be great, depending on what you have to give up and what prospects you have to give up. But in terms of J.D. Davis, the one thing the takeaway is, so that people can rest assured you didn't give away a prospect that could have brought something in return. They're giving Luno all the props in doing this, because they're saying, from the standpoint of will he make the major league roster and is there a spot for him going forward? Probably not. So they said Luno should get kudos because he did the guy a favor trying to find a spot where he has a chance to make and play on a big league roster next year. But yeah, in terms of Kluber, it just depends on what you have to give up, because he's under control for a couple more years. But and he's still a really good pitcher, as the Astros saw in the playoffs. But at what price?
You know, well, I think if you can get a guy like Kluber, who is maybe one of the 2 or 3 best starters, I think I'd pay just about any price from a prospect.
So you're okay with giving up Tucker?
Absolutely.
No matter what the deal is, I'm okay with giving up Tucker right now. From what I've seen, I don't see what everybody else sees in terms of what he's going to develop into, but Forrest Whitley's the guy that I might want to hang on to.
Not me. I would trade anybody in that farm system. Absolutely.
One or both.
Huh?
One or both in the deal. If the Indians said I want them both.
I might try to get a prospect in return, a lower level prospect, but I would give up my top 2 prospects for Corey Kluber. Absolutely. I mean, this is Justin Verlander all over. And if Verlander decides to retire, you replace him for the next 3 or 4 years. So your nucleus of Bregman and Correa and Altuve, and if you keep Springer, you know, that core nucleus plus whoever you're drafting and whoever comes, I like that, because that's your best shot to win a World Series is the next 3 or 4 years. Well, and with having an ace, whether it's Verlander or Kluber or both over the next couple years.
With Verlander, you don't mean retire. You mean if you lose him in free agency in a
year? Well, he might retire. I mean, he's older.
But he said he wants to go for quite a while yet.
Well, but can he, though, too? That's the other question.
The thing is, both of them are free agents in Cole and in Verlander, and you're obviously, ideally, would love to keep them both, but even if you could only keep one, then you got a replacement if you get a Kluber. So I get you. I just wouldn't give up both prospects in that deal.
I don't know for so yeah, Verlander is a free agent after next year.
Yeah, yep.
He becomes an unrestricted
and
free
as
agent.
As does Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, what does Kluber have left?
He's got like two or three left.
Yeah, he would be an unrestricted free agent in 2022. So you would have him for three more years.
What's his salary right now?
$17 million a year.
Ooh, that's a pretty good deal.
So 17, 17 and a half, and 18 over the next 3 years.
That is a really good deal.
I would trade you Forrest Whitley and Tucker in a heartbeat because you're going to be competing for a World Series for the next 3 years.
And as you said, look, it's going to be three teams in the American League. It might be tougher to get out of the American League than it is to win the World Series because you've got teams that have ramped up what they've done in the Red Sox and the Yankees.
And you've got him at his – I mean, that dude, if he went to the free agent market this year, he would get $30 million on the market.
I was going to say, Verlander's at 27, and he's – and Kluber's younger than Verlander, right?
Yeah, he's 32.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I would absolutely do it in a heartbeat.
In the other news in baseball, the White Sox signed John Jay. Why is that a big deal? Because that's one of Manny Machado's best friends after trading for Yonder Alonso, who's his brother-in-law, and all three of them trained together. They're thinking that by the end of the week, the White Sox may try and acquire all friends and family members to get Manny Machado with the White Sox. So, all right, that'll about do it for us. It's a Way Back Wednesday tomorrow. We'll be back with you here from the studio, but you don't have to do anything else as you're driving home and moving about your day. The Blitz is coming up next, and they're going to entertain you all the way till 7 o'clock right here on SportsBet 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.